for Children's Church. I'm so glad that you're here today, and it is a good day to celebrate our graduates. I'm going to share with you a couple of little added announcements. We are going to have our food ministry this coming Thursday. I hope you'll come and be a part of that. And then we're also going to have, we're wrapping up our t-shirt orders. And so if you want a Bear Creek t-shirt, be sure to sign up on the sheet back there. The sheets are pretty full, and so just flip them over if they're filled up, and you can put your shirt sizes there. We're not collecting money at this time, but you can do that, and we'll get them ordered this week. And then we're going to have men's breakfast next Saturday, so I hope you'll come and be a part of that men's breakfast. We always have a good time. All right, well, Pastor Chad, I got in touch with his dad this week, and I was able to get a picture of his graduation. So we're going to take a look at this. This is his graduation. And then I got a picture of his childhood, a baby picture from his dad. We'll leave that one up there for a while, okay? Oh, man. Well, we're in a series that's called The Joy-Filled Life. We're going to be laughing a little bit today. That's not the only time we're going to laugh, but, you know, we've been making our way through the book of Philippians, just taking a look at what the Apostle Paul, this is such an important topic to him throughout this entire book, but really it boils down to faith, right? And much faith, much joy. How about that? Much faith, much joy. And what greater way to encourage our graduates today than to kind of point them to joy and point them to a life of joy? Well, you know, the bottom line is joy, it is built on faith. And this is really, the book of Philippians is really about the faith that leads to that kind of joy. And if you don't have faith, go back and start there, okay? You don't try to just jump out in front and just go, I'm going to go find joy. The objective is to grab hold of the faith that leads to joy. And it's really to embrace the faith that leads to joy, because the joy I'm talking about is the joy of the Lord, right? And so you can't have and you can't know faith without the Lord. You can't have joy without the Lord. So you got to have faith in the Lord. It's confidence in God, trusting in God with all your heart. And when we walk by faith, not by sight, and we start to live His way, we start to find joy. And we've learned this over the last few weeks. Well, today's message really is going to be broken into two parts. I'm going to finish this message next week, but it's it's important that we understand the separation between what it is as people that live on this earth, right, and that operate our own way, and what it's like to operate God's way, what it's like to live by sight and kind of our human way as we see the things that are going on around us, experience this world that we live in, and we try to interpret it our own way, handle it our own way, solve our problems our own way, and that's called living by sight. That's what the Bible calls living by sight. Then there's another way, and it's called living by faith. And you know, there's just too many lies out there, there's too much deception out there, there's too many deceiving things, there's too many ulterior motives out there, and there's too many schemes and scary things in this world that if you live by sight, and if you live the way the world tells you how to live, you're not going to live in victory, and you're not going to find the kind of joy that we're talking about. If you live the way the world tells you to live, you're not going to find the kind of joy that we're talking about. And so so this is why we see so much fear and anxiety in our country and in our world. It's everywhere. Americans are the most anxious people on the earth. We are more medicated than anyone on the planet. We're more, we see more doctors than anyone on the planet. We spend a fortune trying to fix things and trying to find, kind of worldly happiness. And so we buy all these things because we hope that these things will improve our happiness and lift our joy. But these things are dead. And we've talked about this. You know, they're called idols. The Bible calls them idols, right? And here's what an idol is. An idol is anything you're trying to get life out of that doesn't have the ability to give life. There is only one life giver. And so when you start gravitating towards things to give you life, they are empty and they just feed the emptiness. They don't fill you and they don't bring satisfaction. They don't bring true satisfaction. So we're witnessing a generation who've been taught to worry about everything. Have you noticed this? Taught to fear everything, taught to be anxious about everything. It's just worry, worry, fear, fear, worry, worry, fear, fear. And what it produces is some of the most unhealthy, most irrational, most fearful people on the planet. And today we're going to stomp out that lie. And move ourselves to a place of truth and move ourselves to a place of real answers. There are groups out there that are trying to create more and more fear, and they feel like if they can just pour the more and more fear, that they can move, if they can just position you into a place of fear, they can move themselves into a place that where they're the savior of all your fears. And it exists, it's out there, but I have good news for you. 2,000 years ago in the city of David, right, a Savior was born, Christ the King. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our Savior. And he is the only Savior. And so when we think about our fears, we think about our Savior from all fears. We think about the one who holds truth in his hand and who helps you overcome the fears that the world says you should have. And I don't really watch the news much anymore. I'm trying to read the news more now, you know? And so what I do is I just skim it and read it because I need to be informed, okay? And so I want to be informed. So in the morning, I'll skim through it, look at some of the headlines, kind of read through some of the stories and stuff, but I try to just sort of breeze through it because I realize that the same people who are trying to fill you with all the problems, they're also trying to sell you all the pills. Have you noticed this? They're trying to fill you with all the problems, and then they try to fill you with all the pills to solve the problems, and it's like they're in cahoots with each other. And I don't watch that, and I try to kind of unplug from that to kind of get a real perspective. I find my truth in Christ. I find the truth in God's Word. And I try to understand that fear is a liar, sin is a liar, the world is filled with all these fears and things, and the world wants to fill you and your children with fear. And you want to unplug from that. We're never going to rid ourselves of problems. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. Take heed, I've overcome the world. He's our overcomer. He is the overcoming God. And in fact, you know, your problems actually might get worse here on earth. Who knows? Okay? But if you have Christ, you have victory. You live in victory today, and your destiny is victory. And so there's actually, during difficult times, times are good for you because you are secure in Christ. And you have victory in him, and you can be at peace, you can be at rest, even in the darkest day. That's how you have joy in the darkest times. You know, Jesus himself, he tells us, you know, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you want to get out of the mess, you seek him, because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And well, there is no joy in dwelling and meditating on the troubles and problems of this world. And you wanna really mess your life up, fixate on the problems and the issues of this world. You wanna find victory, you fixate your mind and your heart on the things of God. It's just as simple as that, isn't it? It's just as simple as that. At the beginning of chapter 4 in Philippians, you know, Paul, what's happening here is he's dealing with kind of an issue that's rose up in the church. There's two women. They're kind of fighting a little bit. It's a cat fight. and so, you know, just there's this conflict going on in the church. There's these two ladies, and evidently there's just sort of this unresolved tension, and it's stirring up some anxiety in the church and among the people. And so God, through Paul, he gives some just powerful wisdom here that I really want you to hear. Look at verse 4. You're going to see it here on the screen. It says this, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." So he says, rejoice in the Lord always. In other words, center your joy on the Lord, on Christ. He didn't just say rejoice. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And the word there is continually. So you're continually living in this state of rejoicing or joy. They're both the same word. And so you're living in this state of joy. Why does he say that? Well, he says it for the same reason Nehemiah said in the Old Testament. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And remember, happiness is circumstantial. Joy is a disposition. It's an outlook. It's an attitude. It's a confidence in God. You're settled. You're at peace with God. And you live in that. And so he tells them, be joyful. Then he says this, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Let me tell you something. Fear and anxiety are unreasonable. They are unreasonable. And they want you to live in that unreasonableness, okay? Have you ever known someone who's really kind of steady and strong and nothing seems to bother them? One of the things that you like about them is they're pretty reasonable, right? That's what makes them steady. I go to them because they're so reasonable, because they're so firm and they're so steady and they seem to know just what to say and what to do. Why is that? It's because they're not buried in the worry and they're not buried in all of the unreasonableness, right? They're reasonable. And so they're usually just pretty reasonable, and that's what you like about them, right? So as Paul is trying to help these believers and reduce the tension and the anxiety, he tells them, be joyful and be reasonable. Be joyful and be reasonable. And look at verse 6. He continues, do not be anxious about anything. There's that word anxiety or anxiousness. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And he continues, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So do not be anxious about anything. And again, being anxious means that you are dwelling and meditating on your fears. So think about this, okay? Fear and worry bring anxiety. Fear and worry bring anxiety. And so when he says, do not be anxious, he's saying, do not dwell and meditate on your fears. Dwelling on all of the what ifs. You know how this goes. What if, what if, what if? What if I don't get that job? What if I can't pay that bill? What if something happens to my child? What if this happens? What if I get sick? What if I get the monkeypox? You know? What if, what if, what if, what if? And you'll bury yourself in the what if. You'll bury yourself meditating on your fears. It's the worst case scenario for you. You cannot live in victory when you are meditating and thinking about all the things that you're afraid of. You are not going to live in victory. You know, I have this, have you ever seen, or how many of you have ever been stung by a wasp? I want to see everybody's hands who've been stung by a wasp. If you've never been stung by a wasp in here, let me see your hands. Okay, there's actually a few. We've got a few. Never been stung by a wasp. Okay, here's what happens when people get stung by a wasp. They have a decision to make, okay? Either from that day forward, every time they see a wasp, it's like a T-Rex is after them, right? Or they'll put their foot down and they'll say, you know, that's not going to rule me, right? And so there's been times when there's people laughing over here. It's cracking me up because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are afraid of wasps. This is why I'm bringing this up, okay? But I've come across people who will go out into the pool area, okay, and there will be a wasp 50 feet away, and they'll say, I can't be out here. There's wasps out here, and they'll go back into the house, all right? And so, but you have to decide what you're going to allow to rule over you, okay? And I want you to just hang with me on this, okay? Think of fear as something trying to gain authority over you, all right? Now, I know this is a kind of a funny example, because I knew that some of you have some of these fears. I think we all do. We all have these unreasonable fears. But I want you to really think through this, okay? Think of fear as something trying to gain authority over you. And as a follower of Christ, by faith, you have authority over your fears, okay? So fear is trying to have authority over you. And as a follower of Christ, you have authority over your fears, all right? So you are called to rule or govern over your fears. And this is what helps us to get victory and to live in victory here on this earth. Think about that. And so there are these things trying to rule and govern you, something as dumb as a wasp. And I put this little picture. Let's see this. Okay. So this is your little ruler, okay? He wants to be king, and he rules your pool area, okay? And you have a decision. You have a decision. And listen, I would rather be stung than to let that thing have any kind of governing authority or rule over me, right? Melanie and I live in Granbury. We live in an apartment over there, and we go out, and there's these geese everywhere, okay? And you would think they're pit bulls, okay? There's people running from the geese. I see it all the time, almost every day. They are running from these geese. And I told Melanie, I will never run from a goose. What is he going to do? Eat me with his little goose beak? I mean, I don't know what in the world the thing's going to do. Well, it's funny because the other day, we were walking out there near that beach area. And this guy was walking. He's got a little girl. And here come the geese at him, okay? And he lets go of his daughter's hand. He runs straight to the goose, and he grabs it by the throat. I'm not making this up, okay? And so the goose, it had its wings out. It just went, okay? And there was just this long pause. Nobody said anything. And the guy's holding the goose, and the goose is like, awkward, kind of, you know. So the guy takes the goose, he throws it off to the side, and then he continues on with his family. And I'm like, that's a boss, Melanie. That is a goose boss. I want to be a goose boss. Listen, this is very, very important, even though we're laughing, okay? You have to stop running from wasps and geese, all right? There is a greater principle at play, and here's the principle at play. As you lose all these little teeny small battles with fear, as you lose them constantly, and you'll notice people who are not buried in fear, they pretty much, a wasp flies around their face, and they just grab it, squish it, throw it on the ground. They don't live in fear, okay? But listen, you'll notice, and this is just one example, there's so many examples of small fears that want to rule over you, and they're so petty, I mean, that, listen, I would rather be stung than give it authority over me. You see what I mean? Sting me 9 times. I'm not going to give that little thing kingship over me. And this is not just with wasps. This is with everything. As things come out at us and they start to cause us to fear and to worry, you need to step back and say, do I really want this thing to dominate me and to rule over me? But there's a solution, and God gives us a solution. And when you lose these small battles, you'll start losing the big battles too. And I know for you, some of you, the wasp is still a T-Rex. Shrink that thing down to the size that it really is and start facing your battle and just say, look, I would rather it sting me than to put me in a position that I'm operating in fear of the dumb thing. I'm going to enjoy the pool area. All right? And so, in 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, for God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. It sounds pretty reasonable, doesn't it? That's the spirit that God has given us. Why? Because we have victory in Jesus. He is our strength and our power, and we can live in this world and not be overcome by fear. Can I get an amen? And here's a warning to parents. I want you to think about this scenario, okay? So now here's the wasp flying around with its little king crown on, okay? And your daughter, like my daughter, scared to death of wasps currently, okay? And we've got some friends around, and she runs in and hides, or she wants to run and hide, and I stop her. And let's just imagine me telling all of my friends, yeah, she's deathly afraid of wasps. What do you think that does to her? Affirming with other adults that your child is afraid of something as dumb as a wasp, okay? So what I do is I go, listen, Kendall, you have to choose faith over fear right now. Do you trust God? And I try to bring her back down to earth, and I go, let's look. Let me run over there and squash this little wasp so you can really look at it. Are you really afraid of this? Is there really a reason to let this thing have control over you outside? Okay. See, the worst thing that we can do is to tell people that our kids fear all these things. You know, oh yeah, he's really afraid of that boy at school. He's really afraid. She's really afraid of this. She's really afraid of that. It just buries the fear. And look, this is happening all the time. The reason I'm bringing that up specifically is we're training our kids to fear everything. And we got to stop training them to fear everything and turn their hearts, y'all, to faith in God. Having faith in him. That when you are in him, you are secure, you have victory, even over the wasps and the geese, okay? God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. And so let's go back to this passage. Look at verse 6. Do not be anxious, fearful, and worried about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So don't be anxious for anything, but in everything. Let's look at these two words, anything and everything. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not, but in everything. It's talking about circumstances, right? Anything and everything that comes your way. And what he's saying is, there is nothing to fear when you have me. There is nothing to fear when you have me. And as you deal with anything and everything, the circumstances of life, you are going to always have two options, man's way or God's way, okay? Man's way or God's way. See, man's way, it could be anxiety and fear, right? Man's way is, I'm going to fix it. Maybe that could be man's way, okay? These kinds of things, we have to be very careful of. What we want to do is consult the Lord, right? And we don't want to get buried in man's way. We want to get focused on God's way. And so when he says, be anxious for nothing, being anxious is man's way, right? And when he says, but in everything, through prayer, prayer is God's way. Prayer is God's way. See, I mean, we see this throughout Scripture. We walk by faith, not by sight. You look, you always have these two options, right? Faith is God's way. Sight is man's way, right? There are always these two options. We see this throughout the Old Testament, New Testament. Joshua told the people, choose you this day who you will serve, the foreign gods of your father or the living God. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You remember this passage? He's saying, choose. You have two options. Go back to man's rituals and religions and things, those old things of your forefathers, or choose the true God. Moses, Deuteronomy 11, 26, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Choose life. See, here's the issue. The issue, again, is faith. You either believe that when he gives life, that he is truly a life giver, and you'll give him your all, love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you'll come to know that kind of faith, all right? And you'll do it God's way. Your other option is to choose man's way. And sometimes Christians will try to blend the two, right? I know I try to do this sometimes, okay? You might get a little fearful and you might want to start making your own decisions just kind of based out of those fears. I remember in 1999, a movie came out called The Matrix. Y'all remember this movie, The Matrix? And there was this time in the movie when the main character, Neo, he's offered a choice between two pills, a red pill and a blue pill. You remember this part in the movie? It's a pretty famous part of the movie. So Morpheus says this. He says, and I'm going to show you up on the screen. He says, you take the blue pill and the story ends and you wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. Okay? You take the red pill and you stay in Wonderland and I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes. And isn't this kind of the decision that you have about faith? You can either get back to the old life, right? The Bible says to put off that old life and put on the new life. The old life is just man's way, you making decisions on your own, doing things and operating out of impulses and feelings and all these different things, all the emotions of man, right? Man's own strength. Or you can operate in God's power, trusting in him, and you can take the red pill and you can see how far the rabbit hole goes. And you know, when I was in high school, when I was a teenager, I had a strong opinion about Christianity, and I had a very negative perspective on Christianity. I thought Christians were brainwashed, and then later on, I came to know Christ, and I found out it was actually the complete opposite. It was actually the complete opposite. Why? Because I've tasted both worlds, right? And I saw half of my life, how empty it is to live man's way. And then the other part of my life, half of my life, I've experienced the abundant life of Jesus where I live in victory. And so I choose life in Christ, right? I'll take the red pill, right? I'll choose Christ and I'll see how deep the rabbit hole goes. But here's the deal. You can pretend to take the red pill, right? And then you just go back to living your own way, okay? You've actually taken the blue pill, okay? Or you can take the red pill, this faith, and you can step into it, into an authentic faith that's really authentic and genuine. It's not a dead religion. It's filled with life, filled with hope, and he will take you further than you can ever imagine and lead you right to that place of joy. Look what he says. Look what he says here. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, pray. Pretty much sums it up. He says, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so instead of being anxious, pray. Why? It's because you're dependent on God. That is your relationship with Him. It's the reason you are a person of faith and not a person of this world. You have put your trust in Him. He is your everything. He is the King over your life, and how He guides you matters, and you agree with God. And because you agree with God, what He says about trusting Him, what He says about faith, it is true. You hold to it and you live by it. Because that's authentic faith. Anything else is just you trying to make a religion that fits your lifestyle. And so when he says, don't be anxious, you're probably thinking, well, that sounds easy enough, but I am such an anxious person. And I'm so fearful and worried all the time. Look, God wants to deliver you from that. And He wants to take you from where you are to a new place. How do you do that? Don't focus on your fears, focus on your faith. You raise up that faith, you grow that faith, keep trusting in Him even when your eyes tell you not to. And when things look scary, you're trusting in Him, you're anxious for nothing, and in everything, you're taking it to the Lord in prayer. What does that mean? It means you trust Him. It means you're going to call upon the name of the Lord, and you're going to trust Him. And then look at verse 7. Look at verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? It means your anxieties, your fears, and your worries are aiming to steal your heart and your mind. And those fears and those anxieties will keep you up at night, will keep you stewing and meditating on all of the wrong things, and it'll possess your mind and your heart. But if you take these things to the Lord in authentic faith, He will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Isn't that cool? Look, there's two choices. There's man's way, there's God's way. You know, over 300 times in Scripture, it says, fear not. Why does it say fear not? Why does God say fear not? It's because He knows that you're going to be fearful. He knows how prone you are to fear. How about that? That's probably a better way of putting it. He knows how prone you are to fear, and so He says, fear not, over 300 times in the Bible. You know, when Jesus says, do not worry, remember, do not worry about tomorrow. When He says, do not worry, why does He say that? He says that because He knows how you are prone to worry, right? Living on this earth, in these human bodies, okay, in these weak human bodies, we are going to be prone to worry and to be afraid. You know, in James chapter 1, it says, count it all joy when you face various trials or trials of many kind. Why does He say that? Why? How could we possibly count it as joy? Because He knows that trials aim to steal your joy. But He's saying, no, don't let them steal your joy. Count it all as joy. Why would He say that? It's because as believers, we put our faith and our trust and our rest. We are secure in Him, and come what may, I'll take the sting. I'll take the goose bite, okay? I'll take all these things, and I'm just going to keep trusting You, but I'm not going to run, and I'm not going to hide. Amen? And I'm not going to be filled with all of these fears and these anxieties. I'm going to live beyond this world. I'm going to live beyond this world. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it will guard your heart. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray that this word lands strong on the receptive hearts here today. I pray for the hardened heart, the one that thinks that this world is all about human decision-making like I did and living by sight. I pray that You'll awaken their hearts to the spiritual truth of who You are, Lord, that behind all of these dark things are authorities that want to bury us in fear and cause us to live far beyond you, Father. But today we bring that to an end and we just say, Lord, help us to live by faith, not by fear. That person that's wrestling every night with all the fears, I pray that you'll deliver them today. And that mom who's always worried about their kids going astray, I pray, Father, that they'll turn their heart to you, they'll start calling on the name of the Lord and put their trust and their rest in you. And that kid that's being picked on in school, he'll start living by faith and trusting you, and you'll guide his steps. You'll give him the words to say and the wisdom to handle that situation. I pray for the peace of God to guard every heart and mind in this place as we turn to you, Father, in full, authentic faith. In Jesus' name, amen. That's all.